Oh, Jesus, 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 thank you for your name. Thank you for your name. Thank you, Lord, for that showering of mercy. Lord, and truly the ministering. I love you. I love you. When will you hear how much I love you? Oh, God, thank you. My heart even hurts right now because, oh, it can't even contain the mercy, the beauty of you. Oh, God, your love's got to constrain. Lord, thank you, God, that you truly have us panting. There's a delirious heart that you're fostering in your readied wife. Oh, Lord, thank you, God, that there's ones whose attention is being drawn to the only thing, the one thing. Thank you, God, that you said, oh, honey, I will come. I will come. Just look for me. Oh, I'm skipping over the hills. I'm singing our song. I'm singing our song. And I hear it rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. But I am encouraged in heart, Jesus. I know that that's for us right now. We have to take that place and come away now. Out from among them, we're drawing nigh unto you and going out from the camp. It's beautiful, Lord God. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. And that just is in your love, your great love for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, someday we're going to be there in just a twinkling of an eye. Oh, yeah. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Holy Ghost encouraging through the Apostle Paul. And he's speaking here to the church. In Ephesians 4:11, he says, and to the church, I'll use that liberty because that's what it's speaking here to. And to the church he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. So this is a beautiful thing. These are ones that love the Lord. Matter of fact, he's speaking here to these Philadelphia, if you will, the Philadelphia saints that are here in Ephesus, the church, the Ephesians. And he wants them to grow up fully. But he said, look, I've given you all this, all for the ministering of the word of God. Notice what it says here again, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What should those all be about? The word of God. Amen. He didn't give you all this smoke and mirror and all of these things that we think is so tangibly exciting to the flesh. Everything he gave, praise be to God, and every one of these was for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. It wasn't buildings. And I love the ministering of the word of God in music, but most of the time it's just music. And I'm talking about in the church. Most of the time, it's just a repeated saying. After a while, you don't even know what you're saying. I want to know the word of God is being said. I want to know the word of God is being spoken. I want to hear the word of God ministering as the word did through Brother Tim here and Brother Ray in encouraging us in the things of God. But it says here, all of this was given for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And the only thing that will ever edify the body of Christ, let's go back to what he gave them, is the word of God. You want spiritual encouragement? It ain't going to come in fluff and puff. It's not. It's not going to be in a sermon, oh, that was just great that I heard that and that was awesome. And it really encouraged me to go work harder and to be a better person and all of these things. No, you need the word of God. You need the word of God and nothing else. Now, he said, For the perfecting of the saints I've given you this, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come. See, this was for all of those saints. He wanted all of his children to grow up fully. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Isn't that something? Not that we're agreeing upon anything else, a denomination, a religion. The faith. The faith. The Word of God. All back to the Word of God. It's always the Word of God. And of the knowledge of what? The Son of God. Who's the Son of God? The Word. It's all the Word. Praise God. You come to church, what do you want to be about? I want to be about the Word. Because He's about the Word. And that's what will excite your life. That's what will build up a treasure in you that you'll be so thankful is for Him. And He said, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh my, look at this. We get it again. Unto a perfect man. And what is this perfect man? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How could that happen in you? Because He gave you the very life of Christ that lives in you. It's not Jesse trying. By the grace of God, it's just feeding the life of Christ that lives in this man. And if it'll be completely fed on the word of His grace, it'll grow up into one thing. The perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Take what He says. Don't wrestle with it. Just take it and say, that is something. And more importantly than something, that something's for me. That's what He has for me. That we henceforth be no more children. He don't want you being childish. He doesn't want you being silly. He doesn't want you wrestling with the truth. Just believe me. I'm God. I love you. You're my son. Grow up. This is what this is about. Grow up. Huh? Oh, I'd just rather stay in drama. I want the enemy to talk to me and tell me how pitiful I am. Come on. Our Father's God. It's time to grow up. It is. We don't have much time. We need to encourage one another. That's what good family does. That's what real brothers and sisters do. They say, shape up. Come on. Quit messing around. Our Father's God. And the life we have in us is the very life of His Son. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's what happens when we're childish. We listen to other things but the Word of God. Hmm? Well, that's all right. I'm just going to encourage myself in this. Oh, yeah, that strong meat's great, but I'm just going to go over here and have some milk because that's what I feel like. Yeah, that's what you'll feel like. But it isn't going to grow you up. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the sermons that He's been given. I am. I hope you are. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak truth in love. Speaking truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I mean, this is a passionate dad for his kids. This is a passionate lover, our Savior, for his wife. Hmm? Come on now, we know this. But we're talking about perfection. Unto a perfect man. Perfection. He wants perfection in the saints. Well, what kind of perfection is He talking about? Complete. Finished. That's what this word means. Fully grown. Adult. Full age. That's what Christ in you is the sole purpose of. Is to grow up fully. You think about even Jesus Christ. He came to this world as a babe. Amen? Was He ready to be crucified as a baby? He showed us even in His life, the life of complete confidence in the Father. He lived that life, praise God, as man. Very God of very God, but a man. And the Lord showed us through patience, long-suffering, suffering that you and I will never know, but yet we can enter into because of his great grace to suffer together with him. And 33 years later, praise God. And what was it that was fully done that made that moment ready? Was all of the word was performed. Is there any difference for us? He's ministering to me right now. All of the word was done. All of the word, praise God. Every jot and tittle. I'm ready to receive you, my son. And as Paul was able to say to his faithful father, to his precious bridegroom, I am now ready to be offered. He's readying that in your heart, isn't he? Isn't he? Isn't he? I know that I have not apprehended yet because I don't see him face to face. No duh. But I see what I'm going to be, sis. I really do. I see the like him that I'm going to be for him. I see the glory, praise God, that he's transforming my life into for him. And I'm confident in that grace, all that grace that he gave to perform it. Now think of this. It means full age. It means maturity. Where were we last week? Well, we were right over here in Hebrews 5:14. Do you remember last week's verse we were in? So sweetly he said, but strong meat belongs to them that are of what? Full age. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Well, I got news for you. You know that word full age in the Greek is the exact same word as what we're reading here today? Perfect. It's the same word. It's the same thing that he's after. There's no doubt what God wants. He wants his sons to be found one way. Perfect. You understand you're already perfect as a child of God in one sense because you're born of him. You have the perfect life. But it's a baby. It's a baby. You're born a baby. That's right. And it's just like we have our little babies, and man, we'll get to talking about how perfect they are. But as parents, and as much as you treasure them, and we talk about this over and over and over, the thing we want to see is them to grow up. And as parents that love the Lord, you want to see them grow up and love the Lord. You want to see them grow up and be men of God. I want to see you grow up and be that woman of God that he's called you, honey. That's what we want. And that's God's purpose. And he says, you know, I want that completeness. There's nothing lacking in your life. I want you to fully grow up to what I've given you. The Father's saying, I want you to fully grow up because I want to see you married. I saw my son marry his wife. Your father wants to see you married, just like he wants to see his son married. You're still sitting down. I don't know. What are we going to do? He wants you ready to reign. And ready to reign jointly together with him. Amen. Taking that place of magnificent grace. And I do pray that God help us really, brothers and sisters, to quit wrestling with, wrestling with the scriptures. But what we're doing is we're wrestling with unbelief. We're just not believing what God has said. You know God said this. We search the scriptures. I mean, we, by the grace of God, we're lining upon lining it every time we come in here. His brother said many times, I love it in here, how the dots are connected. That's the Holy Ghost. He don't just give you a dot. He connects them all. And there's no doubt what he's after. But by the grace of God, be quick to believe that he's after you. That he's after you. That all of this wasn't written about someone. It was about some you. You, 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 you. This is what this is about, praise God. It's obvious, it's clear, it's evident. He gives us the same message over and over and over. And by the grace of God, let it be exciting like nothing else could ever be exciting. My goodness, with what God is talking about for you, for his son, and you get excited about a job, about an event, about getting a raise, about having a significant someone. And that's all fine in its place, but get excited about the lover of your soul. And he happens to be God. Amen. Now, this word perfect for most, because of unbelief, you just sit there and you go, there's no way. That's just the Bible talking. That's your word. I don't need somebody to give me a word. I've got the word, and it's my word. And just like it's your word. And let him speak to you. And he speaks to you all the time. He says, my sheep know my voice. They know my voice. They hear my voice. Hear him. Hear him. Amen. But you get over there and you say, well, it's just impossible. It don't exist. It's just freely thought. No, it's not. Because even as humans, we say, oh, well, we've seen perfection. I mentioned a baby. I think babies are pretty perfect. I love them. They're awesome. I've seen most of us, oh, I saw a perfect rainbow today. Oh, you love that. You text everybody. I've seen perfect rainbow. And they're cool. Don't get me wrong. Especially in the Word of God to what it means. They've said that music is perfect, and I think I've heard some Beethoven symphonies that I think were pretty much perfect. That seventh just, oof. Amazing. I think God touched some of these ones. I really do. Handel, he can tell you about God giving him that Messiah. I think in a week's time, locked him up there with the Holy Ghost. Hey, son, we're going to get some music out of you. A lot of ministering in that. Praise God. But then they even speak of athletes, you know. Remember old Nadia, some of the kids probably don't remember her. You probably do though, don't you, honey? She had all these 10s, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. That's all they could give her was 10. She's perfect. My deal was Jordan. Oh, Jordan was perfect. Nah, nobody was like him. Oh, you got your LeBron. I had my Jordan. It's okay. I loved him. Tiger Woods in his day. Oh, man, he pretty much perfect. But you know, it's really interesting when you watch those athletes and especially watch them in slow motion, I think it gives the testimony to what perfection really is. They make it look simple. They really do. I mean, Steph Curry, when he does that, whatever he does, you know, it just, what did he do? They slow that thing down and it's like somebody broke a knee because he did a move so fast. And then he just goes back and he does this. He's running down court before the thing goes through the hoop. Simple. Well, you know what? True perfection is simple. Matter of fact, it tells us the really only true perfection there is. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says the simplicity that is in Christ. That's what's simple. The simplicity that's in the Word of God. That's what's simple. But for perfection to really manifest in you, you know what has to happen? You have to be in love with whatever you're after. I've seen people with gifts of different things, but they didn't really love and have a passion. It never developed in their life. Whether it was with a cerebral thing, a knowledge, they got lazy. Athletics, man, I remember this one kid I went to school with. He's the greatest athlete I've ever seen in every sport there was. He could pick up a ball and throw it over 95 miles an hour. Never threw a ball before. He could run. He could jump. He could do anything. But he didn't care about that gift. And perfection was never attained. I'd get out there to catch him, and he could throw a ball so hard, we never knew where that ball was going. It'd go over the screen. I was thankful I was the catcher and not the batter. There's a lot of guys that got beamed with a real fastball. It's not being silly here. This is the truth. I think you know what he's getting at. See, the difference between ones like Jordan and Nadia, they loved what they went after. They did. Even Beethoven, I was thinking about him. He loved composing so much. His father beat him every single night. Every night. Every day, his father beat him. His father beat him so much, it caused his deafness. And his father beat him about the thing that he loved. Because it was when he made a mistake on his piano, or if his father didn't think that the thing that he was composing was, in a sense, good to his ear, his father would beat him. But yet, you know what? That didn't deter him. He didn't quit. He loved composing and he loved music and that piano so much, nothing could get in the way of his passion. The Apostle Paul loved grace. Oh, yes, he did. Matter of fact, he loved grace so much when he saw grace. And on the road to Damascus, he started seeing grace. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, he saw grace face to face. He saw grace so apparent, it blinded him. And let me tell you something. His name was Saul at that time as he was on that road. And man, he was the guy. He was the guy. He was the most religious guy there was. He was the one. The Pharisee, the Sadducee, all of them. Saul's it. He's all powerful in religion. In some respects, if you think, he'd be like the Pope coming out. Here he goes, walking around. But yet when he saw the grace of God, he said, get that dung out of here. I'm going after this. And he faced shipwrecks. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was abused. He was imprisoned. He was mocked even by fellow Christians. Matter of fact, at the very end, it said, all in Asia, all those ones he had ministered and fellowshipped with, they all have forsaken me. But you know what? It wasn't worthy to be compared. I mentioned it earlier. He was wise unto that salvation. His salvation. He was wise to that grace. He knew it was the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh yeah. Now, nothing was more precious and valuable to him. The grace of God was Paul's crown. And think of the religious crowns that were put upon him in a sense. Think of that. All of those in that day, in that religion. Oh, Paul's, you know, Saul, I should say, is the guy. But once he received that grace, there was nothing, there was no other crown but that crown of grace. That's all he loved. And how wondrous that grace, praise God, made him perfect. It caused Brother Paul to grow up. That grace, praise God, caused him to have full knowledge. You know what even Peter said? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know how he got to that? Brother was thinking about it just a second ago. He said, oh, that Paul. He says some things that are hard to be understood by them that wrestle with the scriptures. See, Paul didn't wrestle with the scriptures. See, Paul received the word of God and said, you know what? That's the word. Paul didn't receive the word of God and say, well, my religion doesn't say that. Are you listening to me? More importantly, are you listening to him? See, Paul did not receive the word of God and say, wait a second, but my religion doesn't say that. Well, I'll tell you what, if that's kind of hitting at you today and you have a religion and it doesn't say with the word of God, that shouldn't be your religion. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's it. You can tell me that we've got history and we've got all the buildings and we've got all the money and what did the Lord say? Don't put your confidence in man and don't put your confidence in uncertain riches. Paul didn't come through this life with a lot of money. But he came through this life and he received eternal glory. And matter of fact, he received salvation with eternal glory. Do you recognize that? Do you see how all-powerful the word is? It just shuts it down. If you don't want to receive this, then what you're doing is you're saying, well, I don't want to believe the word of God. I want to believe what this says. I want to believe what that says. That's a sad deal. Because if we can at least get to the basis of it, God the Father gave his only begotten Son for you to have all the Word of God. What do you want? You want a religion or you want the Word of God? I want the Word. I want him. He died for me to have it. He gave me a dad that realized it.
Amen. Amen.
I remember as my papa said, I had a brother that was getting wed in a church, a religious institution. He didn't choose to be married. And I remember my dad, he said, oh, honey, I love you, son. But he said, it took our family 2,000 years to get out of that thing. And I ain't going back.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
There's some that things ran deep that people didn't know. Now, Paul, as he encouraged us, he didn't make grace vain in his life. It wasn't an empty thing. It wasn't something that just, you know, went by him. He took every bit of it. And I love how Paul said, be partakers of my grace. See, he owned it. I mean, he owned it. I own it. Because why do I own it? Because he gave it all to me. He said, I've given you everything. All things are yours. So what does that exclude? Nothing. He said, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. What does that exclude of those blessings? Nothing. I own it. I'm an heir of God. Amen. You're born of God. You're an heir of God. Yes, you are. All you have to do is grow up and understand what a joint heir together with Jesus Christ that he's called you to be. I can just run around in the palace and think I'm a servant. When yet I got a dad that says, oh, honey, you were born for one thing. To rule and reign. Even as a young man, praise God, I was 17 years old and I got it. I believe he's getting it to you, honey. Take it. Take it. He's not a respecter of age or person. It's the truth. Now, brothers and sisters, his grace is that simple. God's entire plan is the simplicity of grace. Did you know that? It's the simplicity of grace. He gave us all grace. He gave us all grace. And why did he give us all grace? How did he prove it? Because he gave us his son, Jesus, freely. That's all grace. He's full of grace and truth. There is no other grace but his son. And he gave him to us freely to die for us, to free us from all sin. And listen to this, all guilt. All guilt. We carry so much guilt. We could go on and on in that. But he gave us a new birth, didn't he? And not a birth of man, but a birth, and we are born of God. Of God. We're born of God. A new life. A new life. Not a life that's redone of mine, that somehow people want to think that are Christians. No, he gave us the very life of his son Jesus. He gave us the life the Father adores. Think of that. He gave you the life, the only life that his Father adores. He gave you that life. He gave you the life that he adores. He gave you the life that he prefers. He gave you the life that he cannot deny. You are his highly favored son. We are his vessels of grace. We are his vessels of grace. His grace gave us everything freely. And he goes on to tell us, not by any works of the flesh, not by any works of the flesh, but only by grace through faith. Isn't that something? And I really want you to go back and think about those Gentile bride studies and all of that. All those ones that were overlooked. That were overlooked even by, and I will say this, even by the family of God. They were overlooked. But God didn't miss that heart. It might have not looked right to some of the family of God. But God was looking at a heart. God was zeroing in on that heart. And I'll tell you, and it's true, we are. We're an assorted bunch of nuts in this place. Really. Really, no. I'm not kidding. We're an assortment of goofy stuff. It's true. All over it. All over it. And you know what I'm saying. But the beautiful thing is God saw the heart. If we all looked the same, it wouldn't be God. If we all had the same problems, it wouldn't be God. Because he'd only be working on one. He works on all of them. And all he's looking for in that vessel, is it the heart that's going to take me? Is the heart going to believe me? And that's why he said, I'll give grace to whom I'll give grace. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Because he knows your heart. Let me tell you something. God's not going to waste his time. It was there. He would that all men be saved. Don't ever think that this predestination stuff, that you got it and somebody else didn't. No. It says, whom he foreknew, then he did predestinate. Don't get caught up in that goofy stuff, because that's not the word of God. God said, I would that all men be saved. And if you're sitting in here and you're not saved today, that means you. He wants you saved. His son died for you. Oh, yes. This is awesome. Now listen to this. Here we go. We'll close this up. The perfection of grace's work never changes. The perfection of grace's work never changes. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. All that was done in his life, it was because of the grace of God that was with me. Nothing else, only grace. We cannot add anything to grace but more grace. Did you know that? You can't add anything to grace but more grace. Oh, yes, that's the truth. His only begotten Son, hallelujah. His only begotten Son's grace is perfect, and his Son's grace is the only perfection and perfecting of your life. See, don't try to get you perfecting your life. Take the grace of God. Take the grace of God. Take the word of his grace. If we could add anything to it, then God wouldn't be God. If we could perform anything, then his power would not be sufficient. But we happen to be, this is so cool, we happen to be the only vessels ever made for grace. You're special. Listen to that. You are the only vessels ever made. Mankind. You were made for grace. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 you are. Oh, it's so wonderful. Oh, my. Now, here we go. We are the only instruments that grace can abound in. Don't you love being that instrument that grace can abound in? That can abound through. We're the only instrument ever made, the vessel ever made, that this grace could bring Him glory. And even so much glory, the full glory, the wife of the Lamb. Because only human beings, if you will, have the ability to do what no other thing created can do. We can let grace. You can reject grace. Oh, yes, you can. But I'd rather look on that beautiful part. You can let grace. And you can let grace more and more. See how special and wonderful and fearfully made you are? The only vessels ever made for grace. Do you now you really get a glimpse of why He can't take His eyes off you? The most valuable thing of God you are made to receive. We are the good pleasure of His will. That's what we were for. And I'll leave you with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always," not sometimes, always. There's nothing contingent upon that. "You've got all grace toward you, and always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And in case you don't know what all them good works are for, all those good works of grace are for, He told them, matter of fact, the same ones that we started with today, those saints at Ephesus. And He told them in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Here it is. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Well, brothers and sisters, what it is it's to let grace make you His masterpiece. Amen. To let grace and His glory, praise God, make you, I love this, His bride of grace. Oh yes, she's the bride of grace. And who is she for? For grace. Grace for grace. The bride of grace for He that is full of grace and truth. You ready to really fill up on it? Praise Him for it? Little bit more about what you've been made for Him. A little bit more of understanding why He forgave your sins for His sake. Oh yeah, He's grace. But He needed grace for grace. Amen. Are you the for grace for grace? What do you think, Jess? Tim? Pam? You grace for grace.
Hallelujah. Beloved of God, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is my spirit that works in you both the will and to do of my good pleasure.
Oh, Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Lord, the ministering to our hearts, I am overwhelmed. I thank You, Lord, for the revealing of Your love. the passion and power of your grace, the infinite embrace of mercy that encompasses us. Lord, we're overwhelmed. But yet, I thank God by your grace, yet we stand. And we stand, thank you, Lord, saluting. Saluting the commander. Thanking, Lord God, you for your calling. Thanking you, Lord God, for the power of your might which strengthens us to believe. Glory for you. Glory for you. In Jesus' name, amen.